Please turn in your Bibles to 1 Kings chapter 8. If you would please stand. We're going to begin reading at verse 61 as we finish up this chapter finally this evening. Let your heart therefore be loyal to the Lord our God, to walk in his statutes and keep his commandments as it is at this day. Then the king and all Israel with him offered sacrifices before the Lord. And Solomon offered a sacrifice of peace offerings, which he offered to the Lord, 22,000 bulls and 120,000 sheep. So the king and all the children of Israel dedicated the house of the Lord. On the same day, the king consecrated the middle of the court that was in the front of the house of the Lord, for there he offered a burnt offering, grain offerings, and the fat of peace offerings, because the bronze altar that was before the Lord was too small to receive the burnt offerings, the grain offerings, and the fat of the peace offerings. At that time, Solomon held a feast, and all Israel with him, a great assembly from the entrance of Hamath to the brook of Egypt, before the Lord our God, 7 days and seven more days, 14 days. On the eighth day, he sent the people away, and they blessed the king and went to their tents joyful and glad of heart for all the good that God had done for his servant David and for Israel, his people. All scripture is inspired by God and profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction and training in righteousness, that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped, lacking in nothing. You may be seated. The dedication of the temple is complete. Solomon has blessed the people of God at the conclusion of his lengthy prayer in the dedication of the temple. And now he expresses his desire in relationship to the people of God. He presses upon them obligations that they should recognize in light of the fact of what God has done for them as his people, as his inheritance. One of the things that God has done for them is that he has been faithful to fulfill the promises that he has made to them. We emphasized that last week, particularly the promise to bring his people into the promised land and there give them rest. And now they have rest. Now they're in the promised land. God had promised through David that a house for his name would be constructed by David's son. And that house has now been completed. And the furniture has been provided for that house, so that now that house might be the place where God would meet with his people. This would be the place where sacrifices were offered for the atonement of God's people. This would be a place where peace offerings were also offered in relationship to the reconciliation that would take place through sacrifice. God being alienated from them because of sin. They not being at peace with God because of that sin. But God, through sacrifice, has made peace, has reconciled them to himself by those peace offerings. And all those things, of course, as we well know, point forward to Jesus Christ. And the rest that God has given his people is a rest that we now have in Christ as we rest in the sufficiency of what he has done for us. We have rest for our souls. Now, in light of all that, Solomon says to the people gathered there at this dedication service, let your heart therefore be loyal to the Lord our God. Loyalty to God before loyalty to anyone or anything else is what Solomon is impressing upon his people. And Solomon would impress upon us this afternoon that kind of loyalty as well. Loyalty to God before loyalty to friend. Loyalty to God before loyalty to family. Loyalty to God before loyalty to country. God is the one that we must be loyal to. And we express that loyalty to God in a particular way. And as we look at Scripture, we find that we express not only our loyalty to God, but also our love for God, and also our faith in God, all by the same way. And how is that? We express it in our obedience to the revealed will of God. He says in verse 61, "Let your heart therefore be loyal to the Lord your God, to walk in his statutes and keep his commandments as it is to this day." Now God has impressed upon his people from the very beginning that they be obedient to him and to his commandments, that they walk in all his ways, that they give allegiance to his precepts and follow his commandments. He desires that his people express their loyalty to him through their obedience to his revealed will. And obedience is what God desires from us in the new covenant. That has not changed. Obedience is not only expression of our loyalty to God, as Jesus points out to his disciples in the upper room on that night in which he was betrayed, before he went to the garden, when he spoke to the disciples in John chapter 14, and you might want to turn there. I want to read to you what Jesus impressed upon them. In John 14, verse 15, "If you love me, keep my commandments." Verse 21, "He who has my commandments and keeps them, it is he who loves me." You get the point? What is Jesus saying? Your love is demonstrated by your obedience. Just as your loyalty to God is demonstrated by your obedience, so is your love. In that same chapter, verses 23 and 24, "If anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. He who does not love me does not keep my words, and the word which you hear is not mine, but the Father's who sent me." Then in chapter 15, at verse 9, "As the Father so loved me, I also have loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I also have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love." Verse 14, "You are my friends if you do whatever I command you." How do you express your love for God? You express it by your submission to his will, by your obedience. Now, that was from John's gospel. But let me remind you of what John, that same apostle, wrote in his first epistle, John chapter 2, verses 3 and 4. You see, John got the point that Jesus was making on that occasion. "Now by this we know that we know him, if we keep his commandments. And he who says, 'I know him,' and does not keep his commandments is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoever keeps his word, truly the love of God is perfected in him. By this we know that we are in Him. How do we know that we are in Him? By the love that we express for Him in keeping His commandments. That's what God requires of His people. We express our loyalty by keeping His commandments. We express our love by keeping His commandments. And we express our faith in Him by keeping His commandments. In Romans chapter 1, verse 5, we read this: through Him we have received grace and apostleship. For what purpose, Paul? For obedience. For obedience to what? To the faith among all the nations for His name. Faith is expressed in obedience to God. And so that's what Solomon, at the end of this dedication service, impresses upon God's people. Impresses upon them the importance of loyalty, and that loyalty being expressed like love and faith is expressed in obedience to God. And then we have sacrifice. Solomon offered a sacrifice of peace offerings, which he offered to the Lord. 22,000 bulls and 120,000 sheep. So the king and all the children of Israel dedicated the house of the Lord. On the same day, the king consecrated the middle of the court that was in front of the house of the Lord. For there he offered burnt offerings, grain offerings, and the fat of peace offerings, because the bronze altar that was before the Lord was too small to receive the burnt offerings, the grain offerings, and the fat of the peace offerings. At the conclusion of this dedication service, we see 140,000 animals being sacrificed. Peace offerings, grain offerings, offerings to the Lord as an expression of their worship, as an expression of their loyalty, as an expression of their love, as an expression of their faith. They offer to God these sacrifices. And no sacrifice to God is too great for them to make. 140,000? That's a lot of cattle. That's a huge loss. What's that going to do to the bottom line? Well, you see, they had such love and such loyalty to God and such faith in Him that they offered these sacrifices before the Lord, their God. And those sacrifices were impressive in number, were they not? And those sacrifices, as we well know, all pointed to the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ. You might remember in Hebrews chapter 10, the writer of Hebrews saying this, Hebrews chapter 10, beginning at verse 1, "For the law, having a shadow of the good things to come and not the very image of the things, can never with these same sacrifices which they offered continually," he's talking about the sacrifices under the old covenant, "which they offered continually year by year, make those who approach perfect. For then would they not have ceased to be offered? For the worshippers, once purified, would have had no more consciousness of sins. But in those sacrifices, there is a reminder of sins every year. For it is not possible that the blood of goats could take away sins. Therefore, when he," speaking about Jesus, "came into the world, he said, 'Sacrifice and offering you did not desire, but a body you prepared for me. In burnt offerings and sacrifice for sin, you have no pleasure.' Then I said, 'Behold, I have come. In the volume of the book it is written of me, to do your will, O God. previously saying, sacrifice and offering, burnt offerings, and offering for sin, you did not desire, nor had pleasure in them, which are offered according to the law. Then he said, behold, I have come to do your will, O God. He takes away the first, that he may establish the second. By that we have been sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. In other words, his offering of himself on the cross was enough to atone for our sins forever. It was enough to satisfy the justice of God. It propitiated the wrath of God. It reconciled us to God. And by that sacrifice, he redeemed us to God. And so all that the old covenant sacrifices pointed to, that was fulfilled in Jesus Christ. And so now, therefore, in response to God's grace and God's goodness, and to in response to his mercy and his love and his kindness, we don't offer sacrifices. But that doesn't mean that there aren't sacrifices for us to make as well. In the book of Hebrews, Hebrews chapter 13, and my Sunday school students will remember this from this morning, Hebrews chapter 13. Beginning at verse 15. Therefore, by him, that is by Jesus, let us continually offer the sacrifice of praise to God, that is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. The sacrifice that is required of new covenant believers is not the sacrifice of bulls and goats. That has been done away with. Because of the sufficiency of the sacrifice of Christ, we no longer need those sacrifices. But what we do need to offer to God is the sacrifice that is the fruit of our lips, the sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving. And the psalmist certainly knew a great deal about this sort of sacrifice. Throughout the Psalter, we read things like this. I will give thanks to the Lord according to his righteousness, and I will sing praise to the name of the Lord Most High. Psalm 7, verse 17. Why are you in despair, O my soul? And why are you disturbed within me? Hope in God, for I shall again praise his name. Psalm 43, verse 5. I will give thanks to thee, O Lord, among the peoples, and I will sing praises to thee among the nations. Psalm 108, verse 3. All of the last five psalms begin with praise the Lord. In Hebrew, hallelujah. And so the psalmist throughout the Psalter offers the sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving to God. And we in the new covenant offer the sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving to God for all the blessings that he has lavished upon us in Christ Jesus our Lord. And we are to offer this sacrifice, according to verse 15 of Hebrews 13, continually. You know what that means? It means every day. When we pray, part of our prayer should include praise and thanksgiving. Paul wrote in 1 Thessalonians, in everything give thanks, for this is God's will for you in Christ. In everything, in every way, in every day, when you pray, according to the Apostle Paul, we are to give thanks. And that is a sacrifice that is pleasing to God. But in verse 16, there's another sacrifice mentioned. But do not forget to do good and to share. Now, he's talking particularly there about doing good and sharing with those people who are members of the body of Christ. We are to take notice of those who are in need, and as God blesses us, we are to seek to be a blessing to them by doing good to them and sharing with them. Now listen to what Paul says. For with such sacrifices, God is well pleased. When we do good to others, when we share our blessings with others, to meet particularly a need that another person in the family of God might have, Paul says that is a sacrifice that is well pleasing to God. How are you doing, New Covenant believer, in terms of your sacrifice? Well, turn your attention then to the book of Romans. Romans chapter 12, just one verse in Romans chapter 12. Paul writes, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies as a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service of worship. There, Paul is telling us that we are to be committed totally to God. And we are to express that commitment by the way we live our lives and what we do with our bodies. Our bodies are to be holy, to be absolutely dedicated to the Lord our God, so that we make it a point to do with our bodies those things that are pleasing in the sight of God. God is concerned about what we do with our bodies. And we are to be living, not dead sacrifices, but to be living sacrifices, totally devoting ourselves to Him. So that we do with our eyes what we know God would have us to do. We turn away from looking at those things that are evil. Sometimes, you know what that's going to mean? Practically speaking, it's going to mean that you use your remote control and you turn the station, or you turn off the TV. It's going to mean that you don't pick up certain magazines. It's going to mean that you don't read certain books. Why? Because you're a living sacrifice, and your eyes are to be totally devoted to God. Your ears, what you hear, must be devoted to Him as well. Are you listening to things that are good for you? Things that will help you grow in the nurture and admonition of the Lord? Are you listening to wholesome things? That's what God would have us do. Our minds, as part of our body, is it not? Our minds are to be devoted to the Lord. And Paul is going to say in verse 2, and do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. What are you doing with your mind each day? What are you filling your mind with? Are you filling it with thoughts of God? Are you filling it with the Scripture? Are you filling it with good Christian literature? Are you filling your minds with that which would be well-pleasing to your God? What are you doing with your hands? Where are your feet carrying you? Everything about you is to be totally dedicated to the Lord your God. A total commitment on your part is what God requires. That's the sacrifice, another sacrifice that is well-pleasing to him. Cranfield says this, and I quote, "The intelligent understanding of worship, that is, the worship which is consonant with the truth of the gospel, is indeed nothing less than the offering of one's whole self in the course of one's concrete living, in one's inward thoughts, feelings, and aspirations, but also in one's word and deeds." Everything that we do, everything that we say, everything that we think, it all should be dedicated to God. That is our sacrifice. And did you notice what Paul says? It's reasonable. It's logical. It makes sense. In light of what your Savior did for you in his body. And we've looked at that, have we not, in some detail in the garden and in the trials, and we'll see it in the cross. He devoted his whole body to the Father. He resigned his will to the Father's will, and he suffered the things that he suffered in obedience to the Father to accomplish our redemption. He was a living sacrifice. He dedicated his entire being to his Father and glorified him in the way that he lived. And that's what we owe to God. We owe him our obedience. We owe him the sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving. We owe him the sacrifice of good works that shares with others. We owe him the totality of our being, and it is our reasonable service of worship. Well, we don't offer bulls and goats, but we do have sacrifices that we are called to make in relationship to the Lord our God. And you notice how this whole thing ends? It ends with a huge feast, a huge time of celebration, a huge time of enjoying the goodness of God as they have been reminded of that goodness, of remembering the grace of God and delighting in the faithfulness of God. All these things they celebrated. And are not those things worth us celebrating as well? God has been so good to us. God has been so merciful. God has been so gracious. God has opened up the most holy of holies, that we might, through the blood of our great high priest, enter into the holy place, make our prayers and petitions made known to him, and find mercy and grace to help in our time of need. God has taken us to be his people. God has given to us an inheritance. God has given to us his Spirit. God has given to us all spiritual blessings in the heavenly places in Jesus Christ. Let me ask you something. Does that excite you? Or you need some drum and some electric guitar? Well, you shouldn't. And if you do, shame on you, because you're being excited by the wrong thing. What should excite you is your God, and what your God has done for you, and what your God continues to do for you, and what your God will do for you when he brings you home to glory. That is worth celebrating. That is worth getting excited about. That is worth loud hallelujahs. Praise the Lord. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the things that we have learned from this dedication service of the temple. Father, through the prayer of King Solomon, you have taught us how to pray. And you have reminded us that our great King, the one who sits on your throne at your right hand, ever lives to make intercession for us. We thank you for the reminder of those blessings that you have lavished upon us as you have given us rest in the Lord Jesus Christ, rest for our souls. We thank you that you have reconciled us to yourself and made peace through the blood of the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you that he has accomplished our redemption and paid the full atonement price of our sins. Oh, Father, how thankful we are that we are your redeemed people, that we are your sons and daughters, that we have been so richly blessed. Father, we would celebrate, we would rejoice, we would give you praise, we would thank you for all that you are and for all that you have done for us in Christ. And Father, we pray that every day that we live, we might offer to you the sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving, that we might do good and share, for with such offerings you are well pleased, that we might offer our bodies as a living sacrifice, which is our reasonable service of worship. Oh, Father, may we offer these things to you with love and with devotion in our hearts for all that you have done for us. Father, we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.